In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was watching a football game recently, and on the back of one of the players' helmets was a little sign that said, "Choose love." I am so glad that I saw that sign. I was about this close to choosing hate. But hey, if a guy who makes big money tackling people, trash-talking to them, sometimes giving them concussions, tells me to choose love, who am I to argue? I'm not exactly sure, though, what I'm supposed to love. Am I to love everything? What about things that are opposites, like good and evil? Am I to love both good and evil? The Bible says to hate wickedness and to hate our own sin. God hates the blasphemes against him. Am I to love what God hates? This love stuff gets very complicated. The fourth and final candle of the Advent wreath is the love candle. Do you believe in perfect love? The Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, exist in a perfect state of love between them. I cannot fathom all that that means. The three in one and one in three is a mystery that no human being can fully comprehend. But although we cannot fully understand the nature of our triune God, we can believe and trust that the relationship of those three eternal, co-equal beings is one of perfect love. God's love overflows into creation. The sun, moon, and stars, the earth and its flora and fauna, and especially people, human beings, the crown of God's creation, are all loved by God. We are the objects of God's love. When we sinned against God, it broke his heart. God is love, but not all love is God. In our fractured and sinful state, God, sometimes we human beings, love what God forbids. But as true love always does, God continues to love us and provide for us. He offers us his forgiveness and shows us a better way of life. When human sin had all but overtaken the world, in his love for us, God destroyed evil through the flood and started over again with Noah and his family. God could have given up on us, but love doesn't do that. When God's people were suffering as slaves for centuries in Egypt, God still looked on them with love, and he heard their cries. Lovingly, he sent Moses to win their freedom and lead them to the promised land. As a token of his love, God gave his children a land to live in and a law to live by. But again and again, they ignored and rejected God's love. He sent them prophets to speak of his love to them, but they refused to listen. Yet God steadfastly loved them despite their infidelity, their running after other gods, and he promised then to send them a savior. In the fullness of time, God sent his beloved only begotten Son to save and redeem his only people, the Jews, not only the Jews, but all the people of the world. In the incarnation, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God himself takes on human flesh. And that was the first of God's mighty acts, whereby his infinite, unconditional love for humanity would be undeniably revealed. God chose a woman named Mary to be the loving mother of his son. Motherly love might be the purest, highest form of human love. When Mary visited her kinswoman Elizabeth, who was carrying the yet unborn John the Baptist, the baby in her womb leaped out of joy and love. God chose a man named Joseph to be the foster father of our Lord. What great love that took on Joseph's part to raise this unique child, Jesus, who was not his biological own. And God loved an insignificant little town named Bethlehem and chose it to be the birthplace of the Christ. We could speak on and on about how Jesus showed the love of God in all that he did and all that he said. Jesus loved the way that a good shepherd loves his sheep. Most powerfully, Jesus demonstrated his love for us on the cross. There he bore the weight of our sins and died in our stead. I'm reminded of a song that we sang in the youth choir I was part of as a teenager. And it ties together Jesus' birth, his life, and his rising from the dead. The first stanza went like this. Love was when God became a man, locked in time and space without rank or place. Love was God, born of Jewish kin, just a carpenter with some fishermen. Love was when Jesus walked in history. Lovingly, he brought a new life that's free. Love was God, nailed to bleed and die, to reach and love one such as I. But Jesus bleeding and dying is not the end. God the Father proved how much he loves the Son by raising him from the dead. God's love, the same love that resurrected the Christ, reaches down to us today. The church is the community that forms around the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacrament, the means of grace, the ways that God expresses his love for us today. Christians are bound together by love. We love God because he first loved us, and we love each other because God loves all of those other people too. Our love, of course, is never perfect in this life, but we look forward to being enveloped into the Trinity's perfect life of love in the world to come. In the meantime, we can love and forgive one another to heal old wounds and divisions. In our service on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we will baptize a child. Parents bring their children for baptism because they love them. Raising children to be Christian is the most loving thing we can do for them. We, the church, welcome the child into the fellowship of love shared by all Christians everywhere. But most of all, God is saying to this child, I love you and I always will. And he will renew that promise to this child as he does to us all day after day after day. That is the love that we celebrate today. And may the peace and love of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.